Taiwan is not a place you think of when you think destination vacation. But Taiwan has modern cities clinging to the fringes of an ancient culture. It has traditional noodles from a 7-Eleven, aboriginal tribes in miniskirts on their way to the sweatshops, a day of temple rituals followed by waterslide rides. And if you want to talk about sex, well, let's just say all bets are off. So if you are hungry for real adventure and testing your real-world survival skills, come to Taiwan and check it out for yourself. Taiwan, it's not as bad as it seems. To book your trip to Taiwan, contact Wayne Kerr or Oliver Klosoff, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Popp, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
Welcome to Arkansas, where visitors can enjoy water sports like kayaking, canoeing, and floating on the White River. Not only are the water sports spectacular, the fishing is world class. Whether looking to land striper, trout, walleye, the waters in the mountain home area are always stocked. Come take time to relax and enjoy what we have to offer and to be part of our down-home family and see we ain't all backwards-ass country fucks. To book your trip to Arkansas, contact Ben Dover or Andy Kornholder, part of our expert team at GXO Tour and Travel.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. Yes, I have been under the weather quite a bit, actually. My voice, pain levels, all that stuff has just really kind of taken its toll on me on getting in here and doing some recording. So I have finally found an AI voice that I really like, and I hope you guys did too last week. Oliver, and as that little smartass mentioned, yes, his name is Ollie Pop, and yes, I am real funny. So there he goes, Ollie Pop. A little history on that, where that even came from, was when my sister was born, my pediatrician doctor, where she was delivered, tried to convince my parents to naming her Lolly, making her Lollipop. So that's, of course, where the play on the words had to come from for me. So hopefully you enjoyed this last spooky season. As you know, we are back into our regular format, at least for a little while. I am preparing for surgery. So there may be weeks that Oliver takes over for me just because I have already written the scripts. I just have not had the time to go through and record. So the other thing, too, is as we end coming to the end of our second season, I have been contemplating on the format of the podcast. And I thought about doing away with the first part of the history. But you know what? There's so much that's out there that has never been really covered, talked about, or brought back up. And that's a shame. I did find a couple of different sources, and they touch on some of the same things that my previous source had as far as different headlines. But they go into it a bit more deep. And the thing that I guess I'm adding to this as an actual format with the news and the headlines. So we're going to do, and if you guys don't like this, please let me know. Give me some suggestions. I'm going to open this up to a poll or to comments. You can definitely reach out to me anytime you wish. So just like the old 5 o'clock news with Walter Cronkite, we do have things broke down into segments. So our first segment, of course, is going to be world news. Then we're going to go into U.S. news. Then we're going to talk about sports. And I know that's kind of a new thing for me because I'm not a big sports guy, but there were a few of these things that while I was doing some research, they really kind of stuck out. And, you know, even though it may not be my thing, it might be yours, and you may enjoy it. Then we're going to talk about weather, and then finally entertainment. And then, of course, we'll proceed with the rest of it as we have before with notable deaths, music, the crime beat. I'm contemplating on what I want to do with that. Lesser-known crimes, better-known crimes, you guys let me know. And then, of course, we're going to finish out with the movies and the top TV for that year. So, with all that being said, we're going to jump right into our new format right after we come back from these words from my fake sponsors.
You've had the best, now try what's left. Schlitt-faced beer. Our beer doesn't even claim to taste good, however, if you are strapped for cash and you need a beer or two that you can afford while still wanting to get so fucked up that bad decisions are a given, then pick up a can or two of Schlitt-faced. At 47.3% alcohol, it's guaranteed to fuck you up. It might taste really funky, but who really drinks beer for the taste anyway? You drink it to get wrecked. When you say Schlitt-faced, that pretty much says it all. Schlitt-faced warns, with this high level of alcohol, do not consume more than 2 in a 60-minute time frame. Drinking Schlitt-faced may result in blindness, erectile dysfunction, and possible anal leakage.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Okay, welcome back from that break. We are going to be talking about Bewitched this week, and that premiered in 1964. So as always, here on our first segment is going to be the history lesson for that year. World leaders at the time, 1964, Nikita Khrushchev. He was the leader of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. And then once he was deposed, our good man who stuck around like forever, Leonid Brezhnev, took over. Here in the United States, we were dealing with Lyndon Baines' dickhead Johnson. And over in the United Kingdom, they had a change of the power over there. Sir Alec Douglas Home, I'm sure that's the way they... He was Prime Minister until October 16th, and then Prime Minister Harold Wilson took over from there. World news in 1964. There was a bloodless coup. General Nguyen Khan seized power in Saigon, South Vietnam. And I know I'm butchering names, and I apologize for that. I was hooked on phonics, so I spell it, or I sound it out the way I see it spelled. So, y'all can blame my third grade teacher for that. Sea battle between the North Vietnamese Navy's torpedo squadron and the destroyer of the USS Maddox and the USS Turner Joy in the Gulf of Tonkin happened. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution was passed by the United States Congress, and the Gulf of Tonkin resolution gave U.S. President Lyndon Baines Dickhead Johnson authorization without a formal declaration of war by Congress for the use of conventional military force in Southeast Asia. And that peckerhead called it a police action. Yeah, a police action. give me a break. And that's the reason why a lot of our vets got fucked out of their benefits for so long, because it wasn't a war. Whatever. Khrushchev was deposed. Repeated shortfalls in agricultural production and faulty administration practices, as well as Khrushchev's role in the Cuban Missile Crisis, along with the rift with China, had intensified opposition to him. Kosygin becomes the premier and Brezhnev becomes first secretary of the Communist Party, sharing overall power. Nelson Mandela and seven others are sentenced to life imprisonment in South Africa. South Africa is barred from the Olympic Games in Tokyo due to their policies. The Congo rebel leader, Christopher, and I know I'm going to butcher this, and I'm sorry, it's spelled G-B-E-N-Y-E. I'm just going to go with Gabeyan? Don't know. Holds 60 Americans and 800 Belgium prisoner. Belgian paratroopers, along with American Air Force support, liberate hundreds of the hostages held by the rebels in Stanleyville, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. China, they detonated their first atomic bomb, and they became the world's fifth nuclear power. Yay. The government of Italy is asking for help to keep the Leaning Tower of Pisa from toppling over. Japan's first bullet train, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, departed Tokyo for Osaka, cutting the 6.5-hour journey to 4 hours. Ah, dang, that's moving. Faisal, he succeeded Saud as the king of Saudi Arabia, and... oh, that was such a bad thing for the United States because, man, when he put the fucking oil embargoes on us along with OPEC in the 70s, yeah, King Faisal was really fucking us. There's no other way to put it. He was just fucking us. I should probably clean up my language for this next one, but I apologize. John Paul VI gives up the jewel-crusted gold papal crown, donating it to the poor at a service in Rome. Well, that's very cool. The Moores murder, Ian Brady and Miriam Hindley, they claim their last victim. In U.S. news, the Kennedy half dollar was issued as kind of a memorial to the late John F. Kennedy. The Warren Commission report on the assassination of President Kennedy was concluded. And on September 24th, the report was presented to President Johnson and then released to the public. The report concluded that the gunman, alleged gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, acted alone with an unknown motive in assassinating President Kennedy, and that Jack Ruby, alleged gunman, acted alone in his murder of the suspect Oswald. It was also reported that the Secret Service had not made adequate preparations for the president's Dallas visit. Well, no shit. The results proved to be somewhat controversial, as there was some conflicting evidence and many people believed in different conspiracy theories surrounding the assassination, such as there were multiple shooters. I'm kind of on board with that. Or that a foreign government arranged the assassination. Or, and this is the one I really believe, is that our own government participated in it. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, signed into law by President Dickhead Johnson, this is one of the few things that he did good. It was made illegal to discriminate someone based on their race, religion, sex, national origin, or the colors of their skin. It also made segregation in public places illegal, enforced the desegregation of schools, and addressed unfair and unequal access to voting and voter registration. With all that being said, there was quite the uproar over that. There was already civil unrest in the United States, but when you think about all of the different areas that there were riots, you think the South. Oh no. My research, they were all over the fucking place. three civil rights workers disappear. Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, after investigating the burning of an African-American church by the KKK, fucking Klan, later determined that they had been murdered. Dr. Martin Luther King received the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in leading a nonviolent resistance against racial prejudice and segregation for the United States. King was only 35 years old when that happened. Oh, and of course, the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, he described Martin Luther King as a, quote, most notorious liar. Fucking Hoover. God. The guy had, like, a serious Oedipus complex, and, yeah, Freud would have had a heyday with Hoover. Martin Luther King then speaks to J. Edgar Hoover about his slander campaign. I did not see where Hoover retracted it or apologized. Students stormed the administration building and staged a sit-in at the University of California. 800 are arrested. Our good friend Jimmy Hoffa is found guilty and sentenced to 8 years on bribery charges. The United States Surgeon General reports that smoking may lead to lung cancer. This is in 64, and the Surgeon General put that out, but yet you saw TV doctors, well, in real life, you had real doctors smoking with their patients in the rooms all the way up into the mid-80s. Yeah, nobody pays attention to the Surgeon General. Plans for the World Trade Center is announced in New York. American glider pilot Al Parker glides 644 miles without a working motor. Prometheus, the world's oldest tree, aged at least 4,862 years old, is, hard air quotes here, accidentally cut down in Nevada, USA. For the first time since 1800, residents of Washington, D.C. are permitted to vote. Johnson is elected president in a landslide, and, I mean, you kind of got to look at who it was he was running against, and that was Barry Goldwater. And finally, here in the United States, Che Guevara speaks at the United Nations General Assembly in New York. Somebody wasn't real thrilled with that, and an unknown terrorist fired a mortar shell at the building during his speech. Fuck me, that's harsh. In sports in 1964, Cassius Clay beats Sonny Liston for the World Heavyweight Championship. Major League Baseball executives vote to hold free agent amateur draft, officially known as the Major League First Year Player Draft. Daytona 500 race winner Richard Petty, I loved watching Richard Petty, leads for a record 184 of the 200 laps the Daytona 500. Boxing legend Cassius Clay joins the Nation of Islam, and he changes his name to Muhammad Ali. Los Angeles Dodgers future Hall of Fame pitcher Sandy Koufax throws his ninth complete game without allowing a walk in a 4-0 opening day over the St. Louis Cardinals. And I got to tell you, I grew up being a Dodger fan, so good on them. Because of certain circumstances in my life, I despise the St. Louis Cardinals. Anybody ever asks me who my favorite baseball team is now, I will tell them it's the Colorado Rockies and anybody that plays the St. Louis Cardinals. Los Angeles pitcher Sandy Koufax, later on that year, tossed his third career no-hitter, beating the Phillies 3-0. New York Yankees' Mickey Mantle tied Babe Ruth's career strikeout record at 1,330. Norman Manley records back-to-back holes in one on the 7th and 8th holes at Diwali at Saugus, California. Now that's just fucking impressive. First off, getting one hole in one, but to do them back-to-back? Like I said, noteworthy. Mickey Mantle gets his career hits 1999, 2000, and 2001, and his 450th home run and a 6-2 victory over the Los Angeles Angels in New York. The New York Yankees' Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle hit home runs on a back-to-back pitches. And New York Yankees, they fired Yogi Berra one day after losing the World Series. But if you've ever, if you're into baseball like I am, you know the story that between Yogi Berra and Billy Martin, that was pretty much their entire management staff. I don't know, for like 40 years. One would go, one would come back. One would go, one would come back. So, anyway. In weather that year, there was a most powerful hurricane in the United States history up to that point. Hurricane Hilda, and that killed 38 in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Georgia. And entertainment. And yes, I consider cars as part of entertainment, so, you know, that's it. The first Ford Mustang is made. Jacqueline Kennedy makes her first public appearance since JFK's assassination. The world's largest cheese was manufactured in Wisconsin for New York's World Fair that year. Yeah, it was a bit of cheese. It was 36,360 pounds worth of cheese. Wow. And that's a lot of cheese. I think, do we have some audio from the week after the World's Fair where everybody had to eat it? Hang on, let me check. That's right, because with that much cheese, you would be stopped up. G.I. Joe debuted as a popular American boy toy. Wow, I don't like the way that sounds. G.I. Joe debuts as a popular American boy's toy, but I like the term action figure so much better than boy toy, because that just... This is even better, because the Beatles were so hot back then, and I can't stand the fucking Beatles. Baskin-Robbins introduced... God, I don't even know if I can even get through this one. Introduced their newest flavor of ice cream. God, I don't know if I can even say it. Beetle nut ice cream. Wow. Oh, God, I got to try and compose myself. Wow, that was tough. The Rolling Stones, they had their first concert here in the United States, and opening for them was Bobby Goldsboro and Bobby V, and they debuted in San Bernardino, California. Don Campbell set a record for a turbine vehicle going, holy shit, 429 miles per hour. Wow, that is impressive. Dan Big Daddy Garlitz becomes the first drag car racer to run the quarter mile. Now, quarter mile, think of how long a quarter mile is. It's not very long. At 201 miles per hour in a quarter mile. Shit, that is boogieing. I mean, that is putting it on the back burner and cook. Wow. That happened at Island Dragway in New Jersey. And finally, Craig Breedlove sets the auto speed record of, wow, well over 525 miles per hour. God dang, that is cooking too. Holy shit. Huh, must have been a Dodge. Notable deaths that year, President Herbert Hoover passed away. Douglas MacArthur, he died after promising that he would return, and I believe that was in the Korean War that he was going to return to the Philippines, and he did. Harpo Marx, the mute one, he passed away. Peter Lorre, he passed away. Writer and creator of James Bond, Ian Fleming, passed away. Gracie Allen, that was George Burns' wife and his partner in their act. I listened to old time radio, and when those two worked together, it was great, because she was the funny one and he was the straight man, and it worked very well. Country singer Jim Reeves, I like Jim Reeves. He died in a plane crash. Alvin York, may not know that name, but go back and watch the movie Sergeant York. Edmund and Maud Kemper. Again, you may not know that names, but they are the first victims of the co-ed killer, their grandson, Ed Kemper. And that, if you want to find more about Ed, go to Serial Killing, a podcast with Alicia Carroll. In the music stores, top songs in the United States, Hello Dolly by Louis Armstrong. And I found out, most people call him Louis Armstrong, but I'm going to tell you what, I found out that he hated being called Louis. It was Louis. Oh, fuck. These next two I could give two shits about. I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. Blech. She Loves You by the Beatles. Blech. I Get Around by the Beach Boys. Yeah, all right. And one I think is probably one of the most underrated artists of that period, Roy Orbison, with the song Oh Pretty Woman. Top songs in the United States for the R&B chart, You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin' by the Righteous Brothers, and everybody had forgotten about that song until the movie Top Gun. Come See About Me by the Supremes. Reach Out for Me by Dionne Warwick. God, this is another song I can't fucking stand. Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. I don't know what it is about that song. I just hate it. How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You by the great Marvin Gaye. Top country songs on the charts. God, this must just be a shitty friggin' week for music for me, because I don't like Roger Miller at all. And he had two major hits that year, Chug-a-Lug by Roger Miller and Do Wack-a-Doo by Roger Miller. And I could have so many comments on either one of them. It Ain't Me, Babe by the great Johnny Cash, Once a Day by Connie Smith, and The Race Is On by the old possum himself, George Jones. By the way, if you want to see a really good docu-picture, on Showtime, there is George and Tammy, and it is a wonderful biopic. Top one hit wonders that year, Surfin' Bird by the Trash Men, Hey Little Cobra, Gonna Shut You Down by the Ripcords, Who Do You Love by the Sapphires, Little Honda by the Hondells, and Have I the Right by the Honeycombs. In the movie theater, we had some pretty decent movies to look at. Dr. Strangelove, Goldfinger, Mary Poppins, one of my favorite westerns, and actually it's my producer's favorite too, A Fistful of Dollars. She likes that. She also likes The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. My dog will sit there and watch a western with me. It's hilarious. She gets so intent into it. My Fair Lady, The Last Man on Earth, that had Vincent Price in it. That's a really good movie. The Pink Panther, The Incredible Mr. Limpet. I'm not a big Don Knotts fan, and I really didn't care for that movie. Oh, here's an Academy Award winner, Mothra versus Godzilla. And, of course, Viva Las Vegas, that had Elvis in it. From Russia with Love, another Bond film. McHale's Navy, The Unsinkable Molly Brown, that had Debbie Reynolds in it. Let me tell you that. It's a musical. If you're not into musicals, bypass it. The fucking Beatles, they tried a movie called The Hard Day's Night. Ensign Pulver. Now, that was a sequel to a war movie that came out a couple of years earlier with Mr. Roberts. And it was a pretty good, both of them, pretty good movies. Father Goose, that had Cary Grant in it. God, this movie is an investment. It's like 17 hours long. Zorba the Greek. I have never been able to make it all the way through it. Ghidorah, that's another movie from the Godzilla world. Comedy of Terrors, that had Vincent Price in it again. Dead Ringer. This was a decent movie. It had Betty Davis and Peter Lawford in it. What a Way to Go. Very obscure movie, very funny. Had Shirley MacLaine, Dean Martin, Dick Van Dyke, Paul Newman in it. And, you know, I mean, it's old, but I still think it's funny. Night of the Iguana. And we wouldn't be able to have a Christmas as Gen X without seeing Burl Ives as a talking snowman by the name of Sam, an acclamation presentation known as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Thank you for giving us that. On TV in 64, they had the opportunity, because I say they because I wasn't even thought of yet, the Addams Family, Robinson Crusoe, that was on, the soap opera that my first wife loved, Another World, that was on, the Bing Crosby TV show, Breezy and Sneasley, no clue, sorry, don't even remember ever seeing that in reruns. Daniel Boone was on, The Famous Adventures of Mr. Magoo, Flipper, Gilligan's Island. Now, I'm not going to drop any names, but I will say that there is a young person in my life that when another young person in our lives mentions something about Gilligan's Island, this person says, "Oh, is that the one with the volleyball?" And my other person says, "No, that's Castaway." First person says, "What's the difference?" That first person has so much to learn. So much to learn. And I hope the second person can teach the first person. So, Gomer Pyle, golly, wasn't a fan of that TV show. One of the creepiest freaking cartoons. God, I hated these frog cartoons and frog animation shit. Hoppity Hooper. God, I hated that thing. Johnny Quest was on. Had probably one of the greatest theme songs involving bongos ever. The Magilla Gorilla Show. Man from U.N.C.L.E. The Munsters. My Living Doll. Nightmare Theater. Peyton Place. And The Porky Pig Show. Didn't realize Porky had his own show. Ricochet Rabbit and Droop Along. I got some inappropriate comments for that. Summer Playhouse. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. I loved Underdog. Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. What's That Song? World War I. It was a TV series. Yippee, Yappy, and Yahooey. That rounds out all of our TV choices. And again, our topic for today is Bewitched. So stick around after some of these words from my fake sponsors.
These pure waters are special. Something goes in there, comes out different. Good different? Oh, sure. Things don't always turn out the way you expect. But who's complaining? Because this water just makes things different. Schlitt-faced beer from the waters of Flint, Michigan. Next time you order a pint, you'll find you taste something different. That isn't in the recipe. It doesn't come from the hops or the two-row malted barley. We like to call it character. It's hard to define, but easy to recognize. You find it in great men and great beers. Schlitt-faced beer from the finest waters of Flint.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
Okay, welcome back from that break. Bewitched originally aired for 8 seasons from 1964 to 1972. The premise of the show is a beautiful witch named Samantha, played by Elizabeth Montgomery, meets and marries a mortal by the name of Darren Stevens. Originally, it would be Dick York, and then later, Dick Sargent. While Samantha complies with Darren's wishes to become more of a normal suburban housewife, her magical family disapproves of the mixed marriage and frequently interferes with the couple's lives. Episodes often begin with Darren being the victim of a spell, the effects of which wreak havoc with mortals such as his boss, clients, parents, and neighbors. By the epilogue, however, Darren and Samantha often embrace, having overcome the devious elements that failed to separate them. The witches and their male counterparts, warlocks, are very long-lived. While Samantha appears to look young and vibrant, many episodes suggest she's actually hundreds of years old. Keep their society secret, witches avoid showing their powers in front of mortals other than Darren. Nevertheless, the effects of their spells and Samantha's attempts to hide her supernatural origin from mortals drive the plot of most episodes. Witches and warlocks usually use physical gestures along with incantations to perform magic. Samantha, on the other hand, often twitches her nose to create a spell. Special visual effects are accompanied by a music to highlight the action. The cast was Elizabeth Montgomery, and she was born in 1933. She passed away May 18, 1995. She suffered from colon cancer, and she ignored the influenza-like symptoms until after she had finished filming a project in March of 1995. Because of the late diagnosis, the cancer metastasized from her colon to her liver. Dick York played Darren for the first seasons, who was born in 1928 and passed away February 20th, 1992. York was a three-pack-a-day smoker for much of his life and often smoked cigarettes on the set. He spent his final years battling emphysema, and by 1989, he was using an oxygen tank to even help him breathe. Dick Sargent then replaced an ailing York for the final three seasons, from 1969 to 1972. Sargent was born in 1930 and died July 8, 1994. Dick Sargent was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1982. The disease continued to spread, and by early 94, he had become very seriously ill. Sargent died from the disease on July 8, 1994. Agnes Moorehead is in Dora. Love Andorra. She played Samantha's mom. She was born in 1900 and passed away April 30, 1974. Moorehead was one of the many people who had developed cancer after the exposure to radioactive fallout from an atmospheric atomic bomb test while making the movie The Conqueror, in which she starred in that with John Wayne in Iron City, Utah. Moorehead died at Mayo Clinic Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, due to uterine cancer. David White played Darren's boss as Larry Tate. He was born in 1916, passed away November 27, 1990. He died of a heart attack. Alice Pierce, she played Mrs. Kravitz. She was the first actress to play Mrs. Kravitz. She passed away in 1966. Pierce was diagnosed with terminal cancer before Bewitched began. She kept her illness a secret. Pierce died of ovarian cancer, and then Sandra Gold took over as Gladys Kravitz. She was born in 1916 and she passed away in 1999. She died of a stroke following heart surgery. George Tobias, he played Mr. Kravitz. He was born in 1901, passed away in 1980. He died of bladder cancer. Erin Murphy, she played Tabitha Stevens. Shared this role with her twin sister, Diane Murphy. Far as I know, they are both still alive today. Man, that is a lot of cancer. Honestly, that is a lot of cancer on that set. Semi-annual regulars I loved, Paul Lynn as Uncle Arthur. He passed away January 10th, 1982. The coroner ruled his death as caused by a heart attack. Maurice Evans played Samantha's dad. Marion Lorne played Aunt Clara. I loved Aunt Clara. She reminded me of actually a old lady in my hometown named Clara. Just sweet, just soft-spoken, yeah. She died of a heart attack in her Manhattan apartment in May of 1968, and they never replaced her character. Never, which I think is, that's awesome. Alice Ghostly as Esmeralda. She took over as kind of the comedy relief once Aunt Clara passed away. Bernard Fox as Dr. Bombay, calling Dr. Bombay. Mabel Albertson played Darren's mom. And Robert Simon, along with Roy Roberts, played Darren's dad, Frank. During its run, the series had a number of cast changes because of illnesses and death of the characters, but probably the most notable would have been in the fifth season of Bewitched. It proved to be a turning point for the series with the mid-season departure of Dick York. The record 8 episodes, which were filmed without him. York was suffering from reoccurring back problems as a result of an accident during the filming of They Came to Condura. As a result, many episodes in seasons 3 and 4 had York's character of Darren out of town on business. Towards the end of the season 5, York's increased disability, which had caused numerous shooting delays and script rewrites, resulted in his collapsing on the set in 1969 while filming the episode Daddy Does His Thing. He was immediately rushed to the hospital, and after a long talk with producer-director William Asher, by the way, at that time, married to Elizabeth Montgomery, York decided to leave the series. About that same time, Montgomery and Asher announced that they were expecting their second baby, and it was decided that Samantha and Darren would also have a second child that fall. On screen, Samantha tells Darren over the phone the news of her second pregnancy. In the fifth season episode, Samantha's Good News, that same month, Dick Sargent was cast to play Darren at the beginning of the sixth season. It is also during that season that Serena, Samantha's identical cousin, never understood that, but okay, was used more frequently. Filming scenes involving both Samantha and Serena were accomplished by using Melody McCord Montgomery's stand-in. 1970 saw a significant decline in ratings, falling from 11th to 24th place. In mid-70, the set of The Home was being rebuilt due to a fire. In June of that year, the cast and crew traveled to Salem, Magnolia, and Gloucester, Massachusetts, to film an 8-part story arc in which Samantha, Darren, and Endora traveled to Salem during the witch trials. These on-location episodes helped the show's sagging ratings. However, during that year, scripts from old episodes were often recycled. By the end of 70 to 71, the ratings for Bewitched had dropped even more, and the show did not even rank in the top 30. ABC moved Bewitched's airtime from Thursday to Wednesday at the beginning of its eighth season, but that didn't help because it was going up against Carol Burnett. Fewer reoccurring actors were used that season. Darren's parents, Uncle Arthur, did not even appear. Louise Tate, she only appeared in 3 episodes. And it was moved again now, this time to Saturday night, and it was going up against All in the Family. So, I mean, you kind of know that that was a kiss of death right there. Bewitched still had a contract for 2 more seasons on ABC. The network was willing to honor that contract by renewing the sitcom for a 9th season. But Elizabeth Montgomery had grown tired of the series and wanted to do other roles. She and her husband, William Asher, had separated and divorced in 1974. Asher pitched an idea for a sitcom starring Paul Lynde, and it became The Paul Lynde Show. The Paul Lynde Show showed some similarities to Bewitched. Some of the sets were used in correspondence. The name of Paul's law firm, McNish and Sims, was similar to Darren's advertising agency of McMahon and Tate. Many actors that were on Bewitched were also used on The Paul Lynde Show. It was basically just struggling around the bowl and down the hole. The series inspired a rival show that ran from 1965 to 1970, the little show called I Dream a Genie. There was a lot of spin-off stuff, cartoon stuff. They even had an episode of The Flintstones where Samantha and Dick York were on there. In 1977, though, there was a short spin-off show called Tabitha, which aired on ABC. Lisa Hartman, by the way, good job, Clint Black. She played Tabitha, now an adult working for her brother at television station KXLA. But there was a lot of continuity differences from the series. Adam and Tabitha both aged far more than the intervening 5 years between the 2 series would have allowed. Somehow, Adam, who was Tabitha's younger brother, became her older brother. And this time, he was mortal and not a warlock, as he was in Bewitched. Supporting character Aunt Minerva says that she had been close to Tabitha since her childhood, but was never mentioned once in the entire early series. Tabitha's parents are mentioned, but never appear. However, Dr. Bombay, Sandra Gould, George Tobias, both of the Kravitzes, and Dick Wilson reprised their roles. In 2005, Bewitched inspired a film starring Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell. I actually like this movie. The film departed from the show's family-oriented tone, and it's not a remake, but takes a meta-fictional approach, with the action focused on an arrogant, failing Hollywood actor, Jack Wyatt, played by Will Ferrell, who is offered a career comeback by playing Darren in a remake of Bewitched. The role is contingent on him finding the perfect woman to play Samantha, and he chooses an unknown named Isabel Bigelow, played by Nicole Kidman, who is an actual witch. And, unfortunately, it did not bode well with critics. The New York Times called the film an unmitigated disaster. At the time of this broadcast, there are still rumors of a reboot series happening. It's happened about every other year for the last 15 years. I personally really hope that it doesn't, because more times than not, this fails. And I don't want to see something that's this perfect been made a mockery of. So, thanks for joining me this week. I know that it's a little bit difficult to kind of be back and forth with me and Oliver. And again, I apologize for that. My health has been a roller coaster lately, and between that and getting ready for surgery, I'm sure while I'm recovering, I'll be doing a lot of recording. So you may even end up with some bonus episodes. So until next time, you guys have yourself a fantastic week, and we'll look forward to reading your comments on the changes that are coming.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Pulpi Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.